Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is Mem. We're in the very top of Mem Amud Aleph, starting with the first words of the daf. In Yanei Brachos, the sixth parak of the Masechta, now that we are well into, more than halfway through, has to do with various halachos, Brachos, Brachos, Anenin. Yesterday we discussed what happens when I have a prus and a shlem in front of me, a broken piece and a whole piece in front of me, which one is going to have priority. At the end of today's daf, we're going to talk more about priority. Tomorrow's daf is really the daf about Kedima, about priority in Brachos. That's coming up tomorrow. The Gemara in the very top of the Amud starts off as follows, Amar Rav. So Rav says the following, Tol Baruch, Tol Baruch. You made a Brachos Amotzi. And then immediately after making a Brachos Amotzi, so you instruct others, here, you know what, take. Right, the word Tol. Take from that which I made a Bracha on. So now the question is as follows. You haven't tasted the bread yet. And so you have now spoken between your bracha and the achila. This is markedly different than having washed your hands and then spoken before you made the brachas hamotzi. That may be a hesach hadas. The Gemara is going to not speak about that today. But right now we're speaking about between the bracha and the actual achila, achilas alechem. So in Osarach Levarach, the Gemara says that you don't have to go ahead and repeat your bracha. Rashi over here writes, the first Rashi in the Amud Abu, Tzeh Korm Shetam in Aprusa, Batsim Imenu V'Hoshit L'Mishetzlo. So what happened was is that you made the bracha, and then you broke a piece of bread, and then you handed it to somebody who was next to you. V'Amrlein, you said to him, Tol Mi Prusas HaBracha. Take a piece from the bracha. So Afa Pi Shesach Bein Time. So obviously now that is Sicha, now that you spoke between the bracha and the eating, Ein Tzorach L'Achzor L'Varach, you don't have to repeat. V'Afa Gavdi Sicha Havi Afsaka. Now Rashi points out over here, why don't you have to make a bracha again? Meaning you spoke, and that sicha now is a hefsek, it's an interruption. He quotes the Gemara in Menachos. Let's say you put on the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, and you spoke between putting on the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. Now we know there's a machlokus between the Rishonim, whether or not it's one bracha or two brachas that you make on the tefillin. And the Ashkenazim make two brachas, and the Sfarim make one bracha. But regardless, everyone's in agreement. It's a Gemara. That if you speak between the shalyan and the shal rosh, you have to repeat the bracha of laniach tefillin. And v'chim b'kisuv adam hachzicha tzorach bracha v'lo mifseke. Over here, what's the chiddush of our Gemara? That the words Tol Baruch is relevant to what we're doing right now, and therefore doesn't constitute a hafsaka. So if you say something that is related to the topic at hand, so that doesn't serve as a hefsek. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. Now, havei melech, havei liftan tzorach levarach. However,
the recipient for sure doesn't have to say the bracha. The recipient?
I mean, the bracha.
There's no question about the recipient.
Well, hold on. Let's first just deal with the point the Gemara wants to make, and then maybe I'll address other questions. But let's just first deal with the Gemara's point. So, Havei Melech, Havei Liftan, Tzorach Levarach. Now, according to Rav, let's say you say something that is not directly related to the bread. Now, you say salt, or you say some sort of condiment. Now, it's hard to understand, by the way, because it is related to the bread. In other words, you want salt for your bread. But still, Rav's of the position that if I speak about the bread itself, that's not a hefsek, but if I speak about something other than the bread, that is a hefsek. That's Shitas HaRav. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilo Hevi Amelech, Avi Lifta, Nami Yitzarach Levarach. And Rav Yochanan's position is you say, Havi Melech, Havi Lifta, bring the salt, bring the condiment, that's related to the bread, and therefore doesn't serve as a hefsek. So Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav. Gvil Leturei, Tzarach Levarach. But according to Rav Yochanan, let's say after you make the Berachas Hamotzi, it just dawned on you, I didn't feed the animal. So now you made the Berachas Hamotzi, and you're about to eat a piece of bread, and you actually articulate, you know what, let's get the animal's food. So that is, according to Rav Yochanan, that's going to be considered a half-steak. Rav Sheshes Amar, and you could see the progression over here. Rav Sheshes Amar, I feel gvil l'turi, nami enet zarech levarech. So Rav Sheshes says, no, even if I, after made the Berachas Hamotzi, before eating the bread, so I say, you know what, feed the animal, that's not going to be considered a hefsek. Why? Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Asa La'adam She'ochal Kodem She'itei Machla Behemto, because we have a halacha, and that is that you should not eat before feeding your animal. She'namar, the Pasuk says, V'nasati Esa B'tzadacha Levim Techa, and then V'hadra, and then afterwards it says, V'achalta V'savata, first feed your animal, and then you should eat. So, by virtue of the fact that you're about to eat, and you're reminded, the Pasuk in Shema reminds you, oh, wait one second, we didn't feed the animals yet, and I should be feeding the animals before I eat. So, therefore, it is related to your eating, because of the chiyuv of making sure your animals eat before you do. And so, therefore, that also doesn't constitute a hefsek as well. So what we have over here in the Gemara is a progression of three Amoraim, each one becoming more relaxed in terms of what does not constitute a hefsek. So according to Rav, it is only Tol Baruch, which isn't the Hefsek. Anything else would be. According to Rav Yochanan, no, even if I talk about a condiment or the salt. And according to Rav Sheshes, even if I talk about feeding the animals, that doesn't serve as a Hefsek. That is all the progression of the Gemara. As far as salt is concerned, so really interesting. Tosos over here, Tosos writes as follows. Back in the day, so their breads were pretty bland. Okay. It's not that they didn't know about salt. They knew about salt. It was just that the breads were bland. However, I'm sure you've noticed, especially in our challahs, that it's salted, it's sugared, it's honeyed, it's got everything. And Tosos, this isn't a modern phenomenon, so Tosos already speaks about this. So you can see Tosos, Divrei Maschal, Havei Malach, it's the first Tosos on the Amud, and I'm just going to go right into the middle of the Tosos. Ve'anu, ein anu regilim lahavi al shochan lo melech v'lo liftan. Look, back then, salt was a necessity. I mean, I'm using the word a little too strongly, but in other words, but that it was needed for the bread. Nowadays, you don't really need salt. You don't really need any type of condiment. Mishum depashal anu chashuv. Our bread is chashuv. V'arei hu ki ad amar b'samach leiz din tzarech boshesh. We're going to see a line like that coming up in the Gemara. Our bread, you don't need to wait for our bread. You can just go ahead and eat our bread right away. It doesn't need anything. Mi Rabbi Menachem, yemedaktik mo lavi melech al shulchan. And then Tosha says, so fine. So as it relates to just our bread is superior than it was back then, superior just simply meaning, you know, we put a lot more into our bread. And so therefore, we don't really need the salt. However, and Tosha's right now is arguing, you don't really have to put salt on the table. But Tosha says, but you know what? It's a better minute to put salt on the table. He quotes over here Rabbi Menachem, I guess one of the Balei Tosos. Hayim medaktik mod lavi melech al shulchan kedisa bemedrash. And based on a medrash, it's interesting how the medrash creeps into the halacha. Based on a medrash, kishi saw Yoshan al shulchan umamtim zeh mizeh ashilu yedehem. And what happens is that Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of people there at the table, and so you wash your hands. And for the people, wash your hands first. So that's a lot of time of keeping your mouth quiet. Actually, enjoy that time. Vehem below mitzvos. And now, but obviously, if nobody's talking in Torah. So hasata mekatrig aleihem. And so therefore, it's an opportunity for the Satan to go ahead and to prosecute. Ubris melach megin aleihem, and the confidence of salt is going to be hagana. It'll protect you. In other words, right, the idea is that on all karbanos, there's salt that's put on. The Torah describes that as a bris. It's part of the covenant between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So me, b'derech, I would say Kabbalah. And it's not Kabbalah, but Medrash. But based on Medrash, so there is still a requirement to put salt on the table. And but the Medrash, however, doesn't say that you necessarily need to dip the bread in the salt. There are sources for that as well, but nevertheless, as far as the Gemara is concerned, as far as Tosos is concerned, he notes that our bread is just simply of a, it's just more flavored than it was back in the day. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through the first topic of today's daf. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel. So the Gemara now is going to go, we're going to still stay on point, and then we'll go off on a little bit of a tangent. Amar Rava Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chia, Ina Botzei Rosh Aliv, So Ad Sheh, Yaviu Melech Oliftan. The person making the motzi is not supposed to make motzi and break bread until the salt and the condiment is brought. Lifnei kol echa ve'echad. And not just in front of him, but in front of everybody. Rava bar Shmuel ikol lebei reish kolusa af ikol lerifta ubas lehejo. So, and they went to the reish kolusa, and they put bread in front of him, and he just simply made it hamotzi right away. Amar le hadar ma mishmaite. So he says, you know, there's not salt in front of everybody. Meaning, didn't you just teach us that there should be salt in front of everyone? Amalu lays din sarach boshesh. He says, for this bread, he was pointing to the bread in front of him, so this bread doesn't need to wait. In other words, this bread is so good, it's so tasty, there's no need to wait. The word boshesh over here, we have that in the psukim regarding Moshe in terms of delaying. Right? Rashi over here quotes from last week's of Torah. So, but anyway, but Rashi points out, pasnikiyahi, it's a really good bread, it's a clean bread. Ain't tzricha liftan, it doesn't need any type of condiment, and so therefore you don't need salt. So the idea that we saw in Tosfos really is in the Gemara, that if the bread is of a better quality, so then salt is not an absolute necessity. But again, Tosfos says, but because of the Medrash, I'm still recommending it. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rava bar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Yechia, ein meraglaim kalim ela v'yeshiva. So the conclusion, the finishing of urination, now this, of course, has nothing to do with what we discussed previously, and you always look for that connective tissue. And so you look at the Baal, it's the same Baal Memra, meaning previously we quoted Amar Rava bar Shmuel, and so we continue, Amar Rava bar Shmuel. So Amar Rava bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chia, Ein Mei Reglaim Kalim, Ela B'Yeshiva. So if you want to successfully urinate and complete your urination, so you should be in a sitting position. So Amar Rav Kahana uva afer tichuach. But before I get to the Rav Kahana, why should that be? So as Rashi points out over here, what happens is if you're standing and urinating, and remember back in the day there was no indoor plumbing, so you went outside to urinate. So what's going to happen is that you get to the end of the urination, so therefore the stream is not going to be a strong flow. And what's going to end up happening is that as you approach the end, so you're afraid now that the drops are going to splash back on your legs. And so what you're going to do now is that you're basically going to force stop the flow from coming out, and so that's not good, right? The Gemara numerous times talks about how when a person relieves himself, he should basically relieve himself all the way to the end. So therefore, if you're sitting, you're not worried about the splashback. Okay, that's the point of the Gemara as explained by Rashi. I'm Rav Kahana v'afer tichoach. Now Rav Kahana now points out that, look, let's say you're urinating on soft earth and there's no splashback, so that's good. So I feel about meter, so you could be standing. V'i like afer tichoach yama b'makom gavoh v'yashin l'makom madron. Or urinate down an incline. So once again, so if you urinate down an incline, so now you know that it's not going to splash back on your legs, and you'll have no hesitation at the end of the urination about it coming back and splashing back in your legs. The Baal Memra. Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara quotes a third statement of Rav Bar Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Chiya. Acher kol achilascha echol melech v'acher kol shtiascha shesei mayim. So after everything you eat, so your chaser should be salt. And after everything you drink, your chaser should be water. V'yata nizok. And if you do that, you will not be damaged. So here, if you will, hilchos deos. Meaning just simply proper health conduct. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, supporting this as well. Achar, kol achilascha achol melech, achar kol shtiascha shesei mayim. Food should conclude with salt, and all drinks should conclude with water. V'yata nizok, and you won't be damaged. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another Brisa. Echol kol maicha v'lo achol melech shasa kol mashkin v'lo shasa mayim. So here in this Brisa, we're just going to go in the negative. What if I don't? So what if I don't conclude a meal with salt, and what if I don't conclude drinking with water? So yidug by yom yidug min reyach haper, uvalayla yidug min askara. So during the day, so what's going to happen is bad breath,
halitosis,
and at night, so yidug min askara. So askara we already described earlier in the Masechta. So that's a constriction of the throat. The Gemara described it as one of the worst way to die. So so these are things that. These will be the ill effects if I don't conclude a meal with salt, or if I don't conclude drinking with water. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes another brisa to this idea as well. If you float your food, meaning you eat, and then afterwards, so put a lot of water into your system. So if you do that, there will be no intestinal issues. Vikama, now how much water should you be drinking after you eat? Amar chista ketone lapas. For every loaf of bread that you eat, for every roll that you eat, so it should be a jug of water, right? Measurements that they understood and knew much better back in the day. Amar of Mari, Amar of Yochanan, Ragel Adashim, Achas L'Shoshim Yom, Monei Askara Mitoch Beito. So serve lentils in your house once a month, and if you do that, so you will be prevented from Askara. Askara will not come and visit you or your family. Ava Kol Yom Alom, but not every day. Beans every day is not good. So my Tamim Mishum Dekash L'Reich HaPeh. So again, the Gemara speaks to this idea that it produces a really foul odor in your mouth. Okay, bad breath. Amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ragel b'chardal, achas l'shoshin yom, menea, chalai mitoch beito. Mustard, once a month, the Gemara describes it as something which is also going to be a preventative, and it will prevent illness from visiting your house. I'll call you alone, but not every day. My time, amishim dekasha, l'chusha deliba. So the Gemara over here says that it leads to some sort of...
Actually, you know what? That's very true.
Okay,
you know what?
Good.
Weak heart muscle, when they have a lot of mustard, it puts them heart failure.
Okay, sitting to my right is a cardiologist who is supporting the Gemara. And the, okay, so mustard is not good. So daily mustard. Okay. Amra chia barashi, amra avaraga bedagim ketanim eno bali dechol me'ayim. So small fish is very good. It'll prevent any kind of intestinal issues. V'la odel shadagim ketanim. And you eat small fish, mafrin umarbin, umavrin kol gufish al adam. So in general, it's got tremendous health benefits. Okay, herring, going all the way back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanin, Arag b'Ketzach. Now Ketzach. Okay, I did a lot of research in Ketzach yesterday, trying to figure out what it was. Okay, the some sort of black seed. Okay, it's a seed. Fennel. Okay, fine. Okay, good. Everyone's entitled to a guess. I'm also. Okay, anyway, some sort of black seed. So Arag b'Ketzach enabali dekev lev. So if you eat it, so it'll prevent any kind of pain in the heart. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges this. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ketzach Echem Mishishim Simani Amavetu VaHayash LaMizrach Garano Dama Berosho. Shimon Gamliel had a real issue with Ketzach, so he calls it the 60th of death, and he says, and if let's say you're in the Goren, you're in the granary, and there's a pile of Ketzach next to you, so Dama Berosho, and you're sleeping to the east of it, you're taking your life into your own hands, meaning anything you do that becomes your responsibility. So now, obviously, what we just done is confused ourselves regarding the Ketzach. Good or not good? So Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina says, really good. Prevents any kind of heart condition. And meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a Braisa is quoted as saying, it's really bad. And so, lo kasha habarecha habetama. So the Gemara makes a distinction between the Reich and the Tam. Reich and Tam, now it's funny, because generally speaking, we assume that they're obviously connected, right, in terms of just our sensories. So obviously the smell is very connected with the taste. But reich kasha, but if all you're doing is just having the fragrance of it, so that's not good. That's the way Rashi explains it. But if it's tam, but if you're tasting it, so meaning tasting over here probably means ingesting it, so that would be good. So it's the kind of it's a kind of seed where eating it is fine, but then smelling it is no good. Imid the Rabbi Yirmiyah, with all that in mind, so now we're going to understand what the practice of the mother of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Afile Rifta, so what she would do is she would bake bread for her son, put the ketzach in, umid bekale umakafale. Now, what she would then do is that she would remove the ketzach, meaning, so it basically, it got the benefits, the health benefits of the ketzach, but before her son ate it, she actually removed it so he wouldn't have to smell it. Okay, and again, admittedly, just on a simple level, it's hard to understand. Meaning, once you bake it with the ketzach, assuming presumably the reich also goes in. Okay, maybe I'm not understanding reich over here correctly. Whatever the case is, okay, ketzach, it's confusing whether it's good or not good. Rav Yehuda Omer Bar Minei Deshayim. We're back to our Mishnah, and we are wrapping up our Mishnah. It's been a while. Okay, the Mishnah takes us all the way back to the Daf Lamed Hey, with the beginning of the Perek. It's the first Mishnah of the Perek, and so the Mishnah told us the brachas that you make over fruit of a tree and fruit of the ground. And vegetation. And then on the vegetation, there was a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama says that for vegetation, it's bar pri adama. And that, of course, is the halacha. But Rav Yehuda says, no, that for vegetation, it should be bar minei deshayim. And the reason why, as we explained back in the Mishnah, is because Rav Yehuda wants it to be even more specific. And so a fruit of the ground, bar pri adama. But if you're talking about eating a leaf, like lettuce, so you don't say pri, so therefore you should say deshayim. Okay, it's like a grass. You're eating grass. So, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bar Minei Deshayim Amar Rabbi Zera Vitem Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa in Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara over here tells us that the Halacha does not fall like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Zera Vitem Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa my time to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's a funny order of the Gemara. First, the Gemara rejects the position as a halachic conclusion, and then the Gemara says, "Oh, by the way, do you want to understand Rabbi Yehuda?" Okay. So, Amar Kra the pasuk says Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It says that we have to bench a Kadosh Baruch Hu every day. It's a simple pshat in the pasuk. You're benching him during the day, not at night. That can't be. So in other words, when you're davening on a daily basis, make sure to include, if it's a special day, to include that it's a special day. If it's Rosh Chodesh, if it's Chanukah, Al Nisim, etc., etc. So hachanami kol min b'min tein lo me'ein birchosav. And similarly, in other words, you want to be specific. And if you're not eating a fruit of the ground, but you're eating a vegetation of the ground, you're eating a leaf, right, a lettuce, so then, tein lo mein berchosav, so that it should be specific to that which you're eating. Okay. I'm Rabbi Zera Vitem, Rabbi Chinna Bar Papa, Bar Reish, Shalom, Kemidas, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam. Midas Basav Adam, Kli Reikan, Machzik, Malay in a Machzik. So the properties in this world are as follows. When can a Kli hold something? Only when it's empty. But if it's full, you can't hold on anything. That's midas basav adam. That's how the world works over here. However, aval kadosh baruch hu ein okein. But that's not the way that it operates with the kadosh baruch hu and things that are spiritual in nature. Malay machzik reikan in a machzik. But when it comes to spiritual matters, if you're malay, so then you can hold things. But if you're reikan, then you can't hold things. Shenamar, and it's based on the following. Vayomer im shamoa tishma, im shamoa tishma, v'im lavlo tishma. Right, the pasuk says in Shema that if you listen, then you'll listen. And what does that mean, im shamo tishma? So, the way Rashi understands it, im shamo tishma, the imshamoa, pam achas, sof cheshetata ozen, pam acheres. So if you get in the habit of listening, so it's going to build one upon the other. So you start listening, and you're going to start listening more and more. That's one way to say it over. Davar acher, another way to say it over, imshamo b'yashan tishma b'chadash, v'im yifne levavcha shuv lo tishma. How is it that you're going to absorb a lot of information? By knowing a lot of information. Information compounds one on top of another. So if you already have a good base of information, so from there now, so you're going to really appreciate and enjoy the additional information, because that's the way information works. It compounds one on top of the other. But if you don't know anything, so then you hear something and it goes in one ear, one out the other. And of course, by the way, we all know this, we all sense this. In other words, on a topic that we're interested in and we already know something about, right? And by the way, you know, it's cyclical. You're interested in something, so therefore you're going to learn more about it. So then when you hear more information about it, so then you're able to process it much better. But if you don't know anything about it and you have no interest in the topic, and again, it's cyclical how the two correlate. So therefore, when you hear about it, it doesn't mean anything to you. Okay, good. We are finally up to the next Mishnah of the Perek. It's been a while. Six blot of Gemara on the almost on the first Mishnah. And now we continue. Birchal Aperos Ailan Bori Pri Hadama Yatsa. So now over here we know what the correct brachas are, you know, more or less, you know, and that's why the Gemara has been so lengthy, because you know there are a lot of foods that are not super clear, but anyway, but we got the basic idea. So let's say it's a fruit of the tree, and the bracha should be a Bori Pri Eitz, and by accident you make a Bori Pri Hadama. So you did that. So Bidi Evan Yatsa. So the Mishnah says it works, and presumably the reason why it works is the Bori Pri Adama is a larger bracha. It's more encompassing, meaning Bori Pri Adama is basically anything that comes from the ground. Well, technically speaking, the fruit that comes from the tree does come from the ground. The fruit coming from the tree, but obviously the tree derives its nourishment from the ground. Now, it's not the bracha that the Chachamim were misakim, but at the same time, however, since the Bori Pri Adama is more general and more incorporative, and so therefore it works b'diavad if you'd say it over a fruit. Now, what if I flip that? What if it was something what I should have made a Bori Pri Adama on, and by mistake I made a Bori Pri Eitz? So there it doesn't work. And why? Because a Bori Pri Eitz is a more specific bracha. And being that it's a more specific bracha, it only is referring to the fruit of the tree, and it doesn't have the general effects of anything coming from the ground. And so therefore, if it's something that deserved a Bori Pri Adama, and instead I made a Bori Pri Eitz, lo yatsa, you have not fulfilled your obligation. And the Mishnah here tells us that shahakol is an all-inclusive bracha. And so therefore, if I make it over anything, so you're yotze, you have fulfilled your obligation b'diavad. Obviously, the best thing to know is to learn what the brachas are on each food and to make the appropriate bracha on the food, but b'diavad, if I make shahakol, so you are yotze. Mantan adikar ilan arahi. Now, this idea that the Ikar ha'ilan, the main component of a tree, is coming from the ground. So Amar Avnachem, Rabbi Yehuda, he so really belongs to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, what the Gemara is trying to explain over here is the following. Why is it that the Bori Pri Adama should work even for the fruit of the tree? And so it must be that the way we have to look at a tree is that really tree is part and parcel of the ground. And because of that, so again, b'diavad, not lechatchila should be making the appropriate bracha. But at least b'diavad, if I'm holding a fruit from the tree, and I make a Bori Pri Adama Miyotze, because ultimately it comes from the ground. And the Gemara now is going to support this with a Mishnah.
We know that, because the bracha over a tree that's not the fruit part of the tree is Adama. We already said that.
Right, but what we could have done in our mind is we could have really separated a fruit of the tree and say that the tree is really its own separate entity. Put it in its own totally different category. And so therefore, the brachas cannot... the brachas become now mutually exclusive of one another. We could have done that. The Gemara says no. Did not, and the Gemara says, and I'll show you Mishnah. Yavish amayam v'niksa se'ilan. So, you have the following. So you harvested your fruit, and you have your first fruits with you, which are bikurim, and you're going to bring to Yerushalayim, but after you harvested the fruit, so rachmanas, so your wellspring dried up, and the tree was cut down, so now you're bringing the fruit, but you no longer have a tree on your property. Maybe v'nekore. So according to the Tanakhama, so you'll bring the Bikurim, but Eino Kari, but you're not going to be reading. We know when it comes to the mitzvah of Bikurim, there are two separate mitzvahs. The Sefer HaChinuch counts it as two separate mitzvahs. There's the Havas HaBikurim, the bringing of the fruit to Yerushalayim, and then there's also Kriya. You read the Parsha, in the beginning of Parsha's Kisavo. So, as far as the Havas Bikurim is concerned, so you'll bring it. However, you won't read the Parsha. Why are you not going to read the Parsha? So the Gemara is not super clear about this point. The Gemara actually doesn't say. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, Yesh Mefarshim, Tosfos writes, Divra Maschal Yaveh Shamayin, Yesh Mefarshim, Lekach Me'evi Ve'en Akarei, Mimnei She'enu Nireh, Ki Meshabech La'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because think about it now, you're coming into Yerushalayim with your first fruits, but you know that your land has suffered. And now, you're not really praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elokei Kobol HaMashe Nasan La'Adama, She'enu Ruy Le'Peiros. Right, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your land, knowing in your mind that your land's been ruined. So you're going to come off sounding sarcastic and not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, fine. So bring it, but don't read it. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, Mevi Kore. Now, Rav Yehuda says, no, you'll bring it and you'll read it. Why? Because you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land, even though there's no tree. And what's the svara behind it? So Rashi says it super succinctly, Sha'ar, it's the Iker. Because as far as what you're thanking Hashem for, you're thanking for the land. There was a tree over there. That's true. But the fruit comes from the tree. But fundamentally, principally, or categorically, it's really coming from the land. So when you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kriya over the Aretz, so it's really over the land, and the land's still there. And that's why it would be still appropriate to do the Kriyas of the Bikurim. Okay, Al Peres Aretz. Now, if we did the opposite, if we made a bracha of Peres Aretz, and instead of making a Bori Pri Adama, we make a Bori Pri, it's even Bidiyevet that does not work. Pshita, now the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? Meaning the Gemara doesn't even right now understand what would be the Chiddush. And if you think about it, you understand. Meaning the bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz obviously demands that there be a tree. And if the fruit is coming directly from the ground, so then there was no tree. So if I say Bori Pri Ha'etz, so it's not a good bracha. And what the Gemara is bothered by right now is very simply, didn't we all know that? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lo Nitzrucha Ela Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Well, I'll tell you the chiddush, and that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda." Damar Chita Min Ilan Hi. Now Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the chita is a tree. Now it's a stretch of definition over here calling a wheat, a stalk of wheat, a tree, but he's going to be basing on the following. Detanya, we have the following brisa. Ilan Sha'achal Mimenu Adam Arishon. We've all heard this, but here it is. Brachos Daf Mem. The tree that Adam Arishon ate from, Rabbi Meir Omer Geffen Hayam. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that it is a vine with grapes. Shein lechadav shemevi yalalal Adam el yayin. Nothing is more destructive than wine. Shenem Rabbi Yashas min hayayin vayishkor. Sorry, vayesh min hayayin vayishkor. So he drank from the wine and he become drunk. That's a reference to Noach. And Rabbi Nechemya Omer Teina. Rabbi Nechemya says that the Eitz Hadaas was actually a fig tree. And the pasuk says that what was given to them to cover themselves as they realized now that they were naked because they ate from the Eitz Hadaas, so the leaves of the fig tree. So it is the item that they were miskalkel, the item then serves to, so to say, remedy them. So therefore, since it's the leaves of the fig tree, so the tree itself must have been a fig tree. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chitaisa. And Rav Yehuda says, no, the Eitz Hadaas was wheat, the wheat tree. Okay, now again, to stretch a definition. It's not a tree. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to learn about the defining the differences between a tree and a non-tree. Okay, but still, according to Rav Yehuda, because the Eitz Hadaas does identify as wheat, so therefore, halachically, it's able to be put in the category of a tree. And therefore, I might have thought then that according to Rav Yehuda, if by eating wheat, instead of making a Bori Pri Adama, I made a Bori Pri Eitz, and we learned earlier, the correct bracha should be a Bori Pri Adama. We learned that earlier in the parak, if you're eating the actual kernel itself. But if I made a Bori Pri Eitz, according to Rav Yehuda, now we could have a serious Havamina. We could entertain the idea that it should work, and the Kamash Malan is that it doesn't work. Now, why, according to Rav Yehuda, is the Eitz Hadaas considered wheat? So we already gave a svara for the grape. We gave a svara for the fig. What's the svara behind the wheat? So the Gemara goes here to explain. Because when does a child, in terms of his cognitive development, when does he become a bardas? So basically when he could start digesting wheat. And then he starts using words. And so you see that there's a connection between chita and das. And so therefore, once we see that, the Eitz Hadaas therefore identifies as a chita. So Sakadat Chamina, the Gemara just spells out what we already said. Sakadat Chamina, Hov Amar Rav Yehuda Chita Minilan, He Livar Chala Bori Pri Ha'etz, Kamash Malan, Kamash Malan. So that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah represents a Chiddush towards Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, yeah, Danny. Okay, let's go. Hecha Mevarchim Bori Pri Ha'etz, Hecha Dechishak Le'Pera, Isa Le'Gavza. And here we are now on the very bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. So here's the Gemara now that tells us the difference between a fruit and a vegetable. And over here, we're not talking in terms of, right, this is not botany, and this is not, over here, we're just talking about the halachic differences in which the bracha would be a bori priyetz as opposed to a bori priyadama. And the Gemara over here gives a very succinct definition. And that is that for bori priyetz, you take the fruit, but the gavza is still there. Now, gavza presumably is a branch. And so that means to say that when you pluck the fruit, the branch is still there, and the only thing regenerating is only the fruit. That's a fruit tree. And then v'hadar mapik, and then what's going to do is going to produce another fruit. But if I take the fruit, the branch does not automatically regenerate another fruit, but actually the branch dies. And now what's going to happen is that a new branch is formed. So that's going to be the difference between bari priyetz versus bari priyadama. Okay, and so where does this lead us to? The Bam Tosos on Mem Amud Aleph. And Tosos on the Bam, and Mem Amud Aleph deals with the question, which are very difficult. And that are the berries. So where do the berries lie within this definition? Tosos also, I spent some time trying to figure out what these berries that Tosos makes reference to. But read the beginning of Tosos. Mehachanira, the tusim. So tusim is the only one that I can, you know, comfortably translate as the strawberries. And then prezis and whatever it is. V'chayot behem. Tzrichon levarchal and bar pre'etz. So Tosos says, I think the bracha should be a bar pre'etz over these berries. Shari derech ha'etz lis kayem yamim rabim. Because even after you pick the berry, the tree lasts over there, the bush lasts over there. So it sounds like, based on the definition given by the Gemara, so the bracha over these berries should be a bari pre'etz. You read on in the Tosfos, by the way, you'll see the Tosfos himself is not convinced by this point. Tosfos counters his own argument. Okay, and so obviously with all these things, so you need halachic guidance. I'm not here to provide that. I'm here to at least get us started in terms of getting us all informed and educated. But you speak to they have lists now. That tells what the conclusions are. But even though obviously we're gonna make a bracha, but still in terms of what bracha should make, it's Tosfos himself was not clear over the world of berries in terms of the definition that was given in the Gemara. We are on the top of Mem Amud Beis. Akulam im amr shahakol itmar. So shahakol is a universal bracha that b'dieved works over all foods, right? So the Gemara now is gonna wonder, does it work over every single food? So itmar Ravuna amar chutz min hapas umin hayayin. So Ravuna says that shahako works for everything except for bread and wine. Bread and wine is so specific and so unique that shahako can't cover. V'Rav Yochanan amar afilo pas hayayin. And Rav Yochanan says, no, shahako gives you full coverage. Okay? And so we have a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of the coverage of shahako. And Nema Ketanayim, the Gemara says now, presumably, this could be a Machlokes HaTanayim. Let's introduce ourselves to the Braisa. Ra Pas V'Amar, Kamana Pazdu. Baruch HaMakum Shebara Yatsa. So let's say you come across bread, and you start singing its praises, literally. And you say, this bread is so beautiful. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we have such a bread. So you know what you've done? Bidi Evin, you made a bracha. Now, obviously, you should say the bracha as is instructed to us by the Chachamim with the Matbeya that the Chachamim instructed us to do. But nevertheless, if you do so in such a manner, b'dieva yoyotze. Reita nezu v'amar kama neotei nezu baruch hamakam shabara yatsa, give Reb Meir. So according to Reb Meir, if you thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the fig, it's beautiful, and thank you Hashem for the fig, so you're yotze. Rabbi Yosi omer kol ha-mishanim imabeh shetavu Chachamim bebrachos lo yatsa yideh chovaso. And Rav Yossi says, look, it's very good. Obviously, to appreciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu is very good. But in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of making a bracha, you must do so in the matbeya, in the format that was put together by the Chachamim. And if you don't do it in that manner, it's not a bracha. Okay. So what the Gemara now is going to suggest is as follows. Name a Rav Huna Damer Rav Yossi. So let's put the following shitas together. Let's say that Rav Huna is going like Rav Yossi. Now, Rav Huna says that the shakal doesn't work for bread and for wine. Now, it's a little bit hard to really put these two shitas together because Rav Huna says that the shakal works for everything else. So, and Tosfos makes this point, meaning even the match right now that the Gemara is trying to make is not a perfect match. Okay, but still, you see that Rav Yossi is a real hardliner in terms of keeping to the matbeah, keeping to the nusach that the Chachamim told us to maintain. And Rav Yochanan Damer, Rav Meir. And Rav Yochanan, who says that shakal works in everything, so he's going like Rav Meir. meaning that you could be a little bit looser, so to say, with what is a bracha. So amlecha Rav Huna, so, and the Gemara says you could match them together, but the Gemara says not a match. And amlecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna will tell you the following. Anadarmi afila Rav Meir. No, I could go like Rav Meir. Ad kalo kam Rav Meir asam elahecha dekam mitka shmei depas. Because consider, even though you're not saying a bracha with the matbe of the chachamim, but nevertheless, you are being specific about what you're eating. You said the word pas. Avahecha delo kam mitka shmei depas afila Rav Meir moda. But if you didn't say the word bread, and you just simply said shahakul niyebed varo, but nevertheless, you didn't mention bread, so therefore it doesn't work. So Rav Huna can go like both positions. And Rav Yochanan says, and the same thing by me. Rav Yochanan am lecha anadami afila Rav Yossi. Rav Yochanan says, I can go like Rav Yossi. Ad kan lukam Rav Yossi asam alam mishum dekam bracha delo takin rabbanan. What is Rav Yossi's objection? You didn't say the bracha as formatted by the chachamim. Ava amr shahakul niyebed varo, takin rabbanan afila Rav Yossi moda. But if you said the bracha of Shahakol, which is a bracha that was established by that, and you're working with the construct, the format that the Chachamim gave us, okay, so therefore it should work, even according to Rav Yossi. So the Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan, basically are saying, don't limit me, don't pigeonhole me to one shita of the Tana, I can go like both Tanaim. Binyamin Raya Krach Rifta, Binyamin the shepherd. So what he did is he was about to break bread, holding the bread in his hand, Va'amar Brich Mari the high pita. So he says, thank you, Hashem. But again, he's saying it now in the vernacular, right? Back then, Aramaic was a spoken language. I'm saying in English, but it's the same idea. So, Brich Mari, thank God, die Peter for this bread. Okay? I'm Rav Yatza. So Rav says, look, it's not the bracha, but it's the bracha. But it works. In other words, it works because he got the basic elements down of a bracha. He thanked Hashem for the bread. That's a bracha. V'am Rav kol bracha she'im ba'azkar Hashem in a bracha. Sorry. I left out an important hey. V'ha'am Rav kol bracha she'im ba'azkar Hashem in a bracha. So the Gemara says he doesn't have the minimum requirements of a bracha. He didn't say Shem Hashem. Bracha demand that you say Shem Hashem. Damer brich rechman amari dai pita. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're just going to fill in the blank, meaning it could be that he said it and it wasn't reported the first time around. But anyway, he said, brich rechmana, thank Hashem for this bread. So the Gemara says, well, don't you need three brachas? And now it's interesting. We assumed up until now that we're talking about the bracha rishona. The Gemara says, no, we're talking here about the bracha achrona. What is the bracha achrona for bread? So that, of course, is benching. That's three brachas. In the fourth parak, we'll explain the fourth bracha, because there is a fourth bracha to benching. But that's three brachas. So over here, even in the vernacular, he only said one bracha. So my yatsa de kamarav, na mi yatsa yedei bracha rishona. So the Gemara says, that's what Rav meant. Rav meant that he was yotze with the bracha rishona, but he still got two more brachas to go. My kamashmalan afagav da amra balashan chol. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's go over what the chiddush is over here. We all know what the Chiddush is. He didn't say the bracha in Hebrew. He said it in the vernacular, and it works. The Gemara says, that's not a Chiddush. That's a Mishnah. Tanina. We learned in the Mishnah in Sota. Elo ne'amar b'chol lashon. So these are the things that one could say in any language. Parsha Sota, Vidu Ma'aser. So this the Parsha of the Sota. The confession. The accounting, the reckoning. That one says after the third and sixth year, to make sure that he gave off all the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, etc., etc. Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Berachas Hamazon. The Mishnah in Sota tells us that these things can be said b'chol lashon in any language. And obviously including that is Berachas Hamazon. And so, what the Gemara wants to know is, where's the Chiddush? Where's the Chiddush? Itzrich Sakadach Hamina Hanimila Damar B'lashon Chol Ki Echad Detakin Rabbanan B'lashon Kodesh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the Chiddush. Chiddush is that if I say a word-by-word translation of the Hebrew, that of course works. That's the Mishnah. Over here, you're not really saying word-by-word translation. You're just getting the essential points in, and you're not even saying it in Hebrew. So the Gemara says, Avalo amar b'lashon chol, Avalo amar b'lashon chol, ki echad akin rabbanan b'lashon kodesh, emalo. But if I'm not following a word-by-word translation of the Hebrew, maybe it doesn't work. Kamash malan, that's the Chiddush. Gufa, the Gemara now is going to talk about the base minimum requirements of what needs to be included in a bracha. Amar Rav kol bracha she'im bo askar sashem in a bracha. So according to Rav, as we already learned, but the Gemara now is going to introduce us to a machlokas. And the base minimum amount for a bracha is haskar sashem. So you have to say Shem Hashem in the bracha, which obviously we do. Baruch atah Hashem. V'Rabbi Yochanan amar kol bracha she'im bo malchus in a bracha. Now Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Base minimum is that you have to say Shem Hashem, and you have to say malchus as well. Now, of course, we do that when we make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. So we add both. And that follows the position of Rav Yochanan. But Rav Yochanan is telling us that these are essential, meaning that even if I do in the vernacular, and I mention God's name, but I don't mention that he's the Melech, according to Rav Yochanan, that doesn't work. Amar Abai Kavasa the Rav Mistabra Ditanya. Now Abai says, I'm going to support Rav with the following. The Pasuk says, as part of the Vidui Meiser, Lo Avarti Me Mitzvasech Velo Shachachti, that as you're making your reckoning at the end of the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, so you say, I didn't pass over any of the mitzvos, and I didn't forget. Lo Avarti Milavarechacha. So Lo Avarti means, I didn't pass over the bracha. I always made a bracha. Velo Shachachti Milasker Shemecha, Alav. And whenever I made the bracha, so the Lo Shachachti, what didn't you forget? I didn't forget to say Shem Hashem. Good. So this is a medrash, right? Medrash halacha. So the ilu machos oketani. Now over here, in terms of what is the kernel of a bracha, it's Shem Hashem, supporting Rav. That in terms of the essence of a bracha, it's Shem Hashem. Rav Yochanan tani v'lo shachachtim laskir shimcha u machuscha alav. Now Rav Yochanan, so he also knows this brisa, and his version of the brisa went a little bit differently. His version of the brisa was, and I didn't forget to say your name and to mention that you are the melech. Okay, so Rav Yochanan just simply has an edit, what he believes is the correct edition of the brisa. That kind of takes us to the end of our second sugya. Just to recap quickly, our morning. We started off this morning on Mem Amud Aleph, talking about what constitutes the hefsek between making the brichos amotzi and eating. If you're saying something relevant to the bread, it's not a hefsek. Not relevant to the bread, it is a hefsek. And it's just a question amongst the Amoraim, what is relevant, what isn't relevant. And then the Gemara on the Amud Aleph gave us a lot of advice regarding various foods which are healthy, various foods which are not healthy, advice in terms of how to properly relieve yourself, fine. That was most of the Amud Aleph. On the bottom, we saw the Mishnah talking about which is the more general and specific bracha as it relates to Bari Priyates, Bari Priyadama. Bari Priyates, more specific. Bari Priyadama, more general. And so therefore, the Bari Priyadama works on a fruit, bidyevid. The opposite's not true. A Bari Priyates does not work on a vegetable, afilu bidyevid. And that the Shahakal is a universal, and it provides full coverage for all. And the Machlokas on the Amoraim, what we saw on the Amud Beis, whether that's true also for even bread and wine. Okay. We are now up to the Mishnah, and then we went over what is the essentials of a bracha. Is it going to be Shem Hashem, that's Shitas Rav, or is it Shem Malchus, that's Shitas Rav Yochanan? The Mishnah continues. Al davar shein gedulah min ha'aretz omer shehakol nihyeh bedvaro. Something that does not grow from the ground. So what is the proper bracha? Shehakol. Okay. And al ha'chomets ve'al ha'novlos ve'al ha'gubai omer shehakol nihyeh bedvaro. Now, as far as vinegar is concerned, sounds a little tricky. The Gemara in the beginning of the Perek talked about the drinking of olive oil, which the Gemara says is really damaging. You know, easily one can make the same argument for the vinegar as well. But anyway, if you drink the vinegar or the novlos, what is novlos? Stay tuned. And guvai, and if you're eating a yummy grasshopper, so then the bracha is going to be shahakol. A Rabbi Yehuda amar kol shehu min klala ein mevarchen alav. Now Rabbi Yehuda says anything that went through a klala, right, some sort of literally curse, but it just simply means that it diminished, it went down in value, so you're not going to make a bracha. And presumably what Rabbi Huda is making reference to over here is the vinegar. Actually, Rashi says, and the novlos, and the guvai. Now vinegar, what happened? It was wine that went sour. So that's klala. And so therefore don't make a bracha on it. Grasshoppers, it's one of the makos. Okay. And novlos, we don't even know what the novlos are yet, so it's not fair to really analyze it yet. How you'll find of minim harbe, Rabbi Yehuda Amar im yesh b'neim in shiva alav umevarich whom I'm sorry whom mevarich the chachamim mevarich al ezim em shiirse. And now, if let's say you have different foods in front of you, so Rabbi Yehuda says that if one of them is a min shiva, one of them is from the shiva aminim, that's the one that you make the bracha on, and the chachamim say whichever one you want. Right now, we do not have really any clear understanding of this machlokas, and tomorrow's daf, most of tomorrow's daf, is going to be dedicated to understanding this machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda, so let's reserve any kind of understanding of this last line of the Mishnah till tomorrow. Tan Rabbanan, we start with a braisa. Al davar shein gidulah min ha'aretz kegon. Anything that does not come from the ground, like basar behemos, chayos ve'ofos, all meats, whether it comes from an animal, whether it comes from the bird, v'dagim, fish, amar shakol niyeh b'dvar. So the appropriate bracha is going to be shakol. Al ha'chalav ala beitzim. So if one eats milk or eggs, v'ala gvin or cheese, amar shakol. So far it's all the proteins. Al ha'pas she'ifsha. Now if the bread went moldy, al ha'yayin she'hikrim, or if the wine went moldy, Or if the dish went moldy, omer shahakol. So the bracha should be a shahakol. Al hamelech v'al hazamitz v'al kameim u'pichios. Now for salt and for brine and for mushrooms, omer shahakol. The bracha should be shahakol. L'meim r'dekameh u'pichim lo gidule karkenenu. Now, that means mushrooms don't grow from the ground. V'al tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. I know to be peros ha'aretz, also to be peros ha'aretz, mutar b'kameim u'pichios. If a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat peros ha'aretz, so he is now, based on his neder, going to be banned from eating all produce. However, mushrooms would be fine. However, imam are called gidule karka alai. But if he says that I'm not going to eat anything that grows from the karka, doesn't use the word aritz, but karka, asaf bekameim apitrios, so as far as nadarm is concerned, so he cannot eat even mushrooms. Amar abaye mirba rabu me'ara, minke lo yakne me'ara. So the Gemara says, look, as far as mushrooms are concerned, so obviously they grow out of the ground. But their nourishment is not coming from the ground. They're a fungus. And so therefore, the appropriate bracha over them is not bori pri hadama, because it's not, it's unique, its nourishment is not coming from the ground, and that's where the bracha is going to be shahakal. V'ha al davar she'en gedula min ha'aretz ketani, tani al davar she'en yonek min ha'aretz. What about the Mishnah and the Darim? So the Gemara does also just a quick editing of the Mishnah. It means anything, what you meant to say is anything that does not get its nourishment from the ground, and that's why mushrooms are excluded. Ala novlos, my novlos. And our last topic of today is going to be the attempt to try to define novlos. In our Mishnah, novlos was a debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda in terms of what the proper bracha is. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, shahakol. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's something that went through a klala. And so therefore you don't make a bracha on it. So what are novlos? Rabbi Zev, Rabbi Lai, Chadamar, Bishule Kamra. I'm sorry, Boshle Kamra. So, v'charamar tamri d'zika. So, they're both describing it as dates. It's just a question of boshle kamra, they were sun-dried dates, as opposed to tamri d'zika, dates that were blown off the tree by the wind. Now, the Gemara says, let's see if we can try to pinpoint which is the more accurate one. Tenan Rabbi Yehuda amar kol shehu min klala ein mevarchen alav. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's a min klala, bishlam laman d'amar boshle kamra hainu d'karile min klala. So the Gemara says that if they were sun-dried, and sun-dried over here, I know it has, in our language, like a positive connotation, but sun-dried over here meaning that it was scorched by the sun. So then I understand it's a minklala. But elamanda amar tamar dezika my minklala. So the Gemara says, but if it's tamar dezika, if it was just blown off the tree by the wind, so that's called a date. Nothing wrong with it. And it's not a minklala. And so the Gemara says, and why would Rabbi Yehuda be describing it as minklala? So the Gemara says, ashara. Well, there were three things mentioned in the Mishnah, and it could be that Rabbi Yehuda was only referencing the other two and not the novo. Admittedly, it's a dochek. It's a bit of a pushed answer, but okay. Igadarmi, now the Gemara gives another suggestion. Bishlam, or I'm sorry, another version of this discussion. Bishlam laman darmar boshle kamar hainu demavarchin alai shakol laman darmar tamar dezika shahakol bar praet me baile. Now over here, we'll go in the other direction. If it was scorched by the sun, so fine. So no longer is it the original fruit that you're going to make a bar praets. And so then I can even understand how you're making a shahakol. But if all that happened is the wind blew it off the tree, so it's a date. And you should making a bar praets, meaning what is that position? If the definition is that the wind blew it off the tree, so then how is it that we're going to entertain, you're going to make anything other than a bar praets? So mi baile levruche. Ela benovlo stama kule amalo pligi deboshli kamarnin. So the Gemara says, fine. You know what? There's no other way to say it in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about novlos. It's talking about the date that was scorched by the sun. There's no debate about that. So, ki pligi benovlos tamara. If, however, we find a Mishnah or a Brisa describing novlos tamra, using those two words together, and tamra being the modifier, so then we have a debate in terms of what it means. And the Gemara goes, did not. And here we have now a Mishnah in Demai. Hakalam sheba Demai. Now, Demai, you're buying produce from an Amaretz. You're not sure if you take off Trumas and Maestros. Most of them do. As the Chomer, the Chachamim demanded that you take off Trumas and Maestros again, even though most of the time they do. It's a Chomer. This is called Demai. However, because it's a Chomer, so the Chachamim built in leniencies. Over the course of Shas, every now and then, we're treated to a different leniency as it relates to Demai. There's a Mishnayos, the Masech, the Mishnayos, dedicated to this topic. So anyway, so here is a Mishnah in Demai. It's in the first Perek. It's the first Mishnah. So those things which are not subject to Demai. Now, why not? So, there's so many of them out there that it's not, it wouldn't be much of a financial loss to the vendor for him to try to skip out on Trumas and Maestros. And so, in other words, we generally assume that the vendors aren't going to want to take off Trumas and Maestros because less for them to sell. But over here, these things are in such abundance that we're not really worried that the vendor is going to not going to take off Trumas and Maestros. And they are, and we have a list of 8 different types of produce where you don't have to worry about demai. And they are hashis and harimim. We're going to translate each one of them independently. Shis and harimim, ozrudim, benoshuach, benoshikma, gufnim, netzba, novos, tamra. Okay, so there are 8 items which, again, are not subject to demai. The chomer of demai, when you buy them, you don't have to take off. You don't have to take off shumas and maestros. Now shisim. Now what are all of them? So the Gemara is going to go through quick definitions. Shisim amar abarachan amar yochanan mintainim. It's a type of fig. Rimin kande. It's a type of berry. Haozradim tulshe. I don't know. Sorry. Benoshuach. Sorry. I obviously put a lot of work into this, but okay. Okay. Benoshuach amar abarachan amar yochanan tainim chavarta. The benoshuach are the white dates. Or I'm sorry, the white figs. Beno shikma, amar rabba b'chana amar rav yochanan duvle. A type of, I think, chestnut, I'm not sure. Agufnim shili. Shili gufne. Agufnin are the late grapes. And nitzba, that's pircha. Okay, we spent some time already in our parak talking about the caber bush. Novlos tamra. Now, what is novlos tamra? That's the 8th item mentioned in the Mishnah in Demai. And now we have the debate. Rabbi Elazar v'Zerach Amar Bushle Kamar v'Chanamar Tamar Dezika. And here we have the debate in terms of whether or not it is sun scorched dates or whether the wind blew it off. Bishlam Lamanda Amar Bushle Kamar Haina Diktani Hakalan Shedemai. Now, if it's Bushle Kamra, if it's sun scorched, so then I understand. Sfeikin Hu De Potter Hava Dain Chayev. So then I understand. When I'm buying it from Amar, it's a Safik. And again, over here, the Chachamim even waived the rabbinic stringency. In general speaking, it's going to be chayav, because what is it? It's a produce. It's a fruit of the ground. But if the wind blew it off the tree, I don't understand. The wind blew it off the tree. So now whose ownership is it under? Nobody's. It's hefker. And now that it's hefker, we have a general rule. Hefker is exempt from trumas and maestros. So then why are we even having a demai discussion? So So the Gemara says, well, what the landowner did is after the wind blew it off the tree, he then went ahead and he picked it up again and he piled it up. So if I have something which is lekeh shecha and peah, which is generally exempt from trumas and maestros, but then what you do is you pile them up, so then they're going to be chayav in trumas and maestros. So that is one way to say it. Ika damre now in a slightly different version. Another way to say bishlam laman damre tamre dezika hainu dacha karele novus tam lava hasam karele tamra. So the Gemara says, now if you're of the opinion that it is if you're of the opinion that it is wind blown dates, so then you understand. Novus by itself, it's sun scorched. That's our Mishnah. Novus tamara is when the wind blew it off the tree. We have 2 different terms with 2 different definitions. But Elaman Damar Bushle Kamar Nisne Idvi Novlos Tamro Idvi Novlos Tama. But if you say that the Mishnah Demai of Novlos Tamar is sun scorched, so Novlos by itself is sun scorched, Novlos Tamar is sun scorched, why would the Mishnah be using different terms to describe the same thing? Kasha, the Gemara ends off with a difficulty on that. One last point to just bring up in today's daf, which is really a point of interest. The last Tosus on Mem Amud Beis. The Gemara says that in terms of minimum requirement of a bracha, you need to say Shema Malchus. Shema Hashem and Melech. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Good. And that's true, except for Shemon Esrei. Right? Think about it. It's such a great question of Tosfos. So we say Shema Hashem, we don't say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, we say Elokeinu Velokei Avaseinu. And we leave out the Malchus. So in the bracha that was instituted by the Chachamim that we say 3 times a day, which is our Shemon Esrei in the Amidah, so Hashem Hashem doesn't have Malchus. So how does that work? And assuming, of course, that we pass like Rav Yochanan, see Tosfos on the bottom, the Amud who discusses various suggestions to that question.